The setting served as an appropriate backdrop to underscore the prominence of those present. I recognized many faces that I had often seen on television, but there was something unsettling about seeing these people in person. I wasn't sure why. Then it occurred to me, many of these people didn't seem to be any more alive than when I viewed them on TV. I looked closely at many of these leaders of Congress, their deeply lined faces frozen into an impenetrable mask, their movements stiff and automatic. And sprinkled in among them were eager young aides and interns, fresh out of college, intoxicated by the power around them, speaking with subdued excitement. Trying to act grown up, I thought. To me, someone with no prior exposure to the political world, the scene was almost surreal. I had arrived early, and people were milling about. The older and more established guests seemed to be so secure in their positions and so overwhelmed by their own self-importance that they seemed to take little interest in anyone else. When they were introduced to someone, they looked right through them, barely acknowledging that there was another human standing in front of them. The younger or less secure, by far the majority, seemed to be equally oblivious to those they were talking to, as their eyes constantly darted about the room, trying to determine their place in the hierarchy of power. Some made their way through the crowd introducing themselves, and as I would later mention to the Dalai Lama, the most common question was, "What do you do?" They seemed to have a talent for sizing you up. Within 16 nanoseconds, they could determine if there was any way that you could be useful to them. If not, they were soon off, jostling their way through the room to meet somebody more important. Some sipped on Diet Cokes or white wine, and there was a long banquet table in the middle of the room laden with imported cheeses, fried shrimp, puff pastries, and assorted delicacies. The food remained largely untouched. Many appeared to be too tense to eat. I looked around the room and saw a few who looked relaxed and happy. Finally, the Dalai Lama entered the room. The contrast was striking. As usual, he appeared calm and cheerful. I noticed that he hadn't even bothered to put on his good leather rockports. He was wearing his old rubber thongs. Senator Feinstein and her husband instantly began to introduce the Dalai Lama to some of the guests. He poured himself a glass of water while Senator Feinstein dragged a heavy antique dark oak chair across the room, pushing it against a wall and inviting the Dalai Lama to sit. Several senators lined up to be introduced. Standing across the room, I could not hear what they were saying, but observing the way that he engaged them, with a sincere handshake, warm, guileless smile, and direct eye contact, it was apparent that, as always, he was relating to them just as one human being to another, with a complete lack of pretense. Soon there was the inevitable smile on the others' faces, even their posture relaxed. I noticed that after they were introduced, many of the guests lingered and seemed reluctant to leave. Finally, one senator pulled up a chair next to the Dalai Lama. The next in the receiving line did the same. Soon there were a dozen politicians seated along the wall, a half dozen on each side of the Dalai Lama. Observing how they leaned toward him attentively, engrossed in conversation, from across the room the scene reminded me of the Last Supper. It seemed that the closer they were to the Dalai Lama, the more their faces and posture relaxed. Turning back a few minutes later, I was struck by an even more extraordinary sight. The Dalai Lama was affectionately holding the hand of the man seated next to him, a well-known, seasoned old politician whom he had just met.